Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. This talk show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm not sure I remember more hype going into a smack off than this year, honestly. Yeah, Rome, you say that every single year. No, I don't. I've said it in the past, but and when I've said it in the past, I've meant it in the past at that time. But honestly, I mean, maybe it's because of what's going on around us. Maybe it's in part because of a global pandemic. Maybe it's because there are people at home. Whatever the reason, it's just a fact. I don't remember more hype going into the event than we're getting right now. And it feels good, and we need it. Vic in NoCal is in. Something else I like about it, not only the hype, but you've got a lot of the guys that are going to be in the event on the 19th that are participating in that hype. Vic in NoCal tweets, gonna need that fourth hour back just for June 19th. I could justify it, but that's part of the game. That's part of the chess that's involved. Make sure you know when to call. Make sure you put yourself in a position where you get on the air, because there's not going to be a fourth hour. I'm not going to be able to say on that day, dang, this thing is so good, and I didn't get to three or four people that I wanted to get to. I need that fourth hour. It's not an option. It's going to be a three-hour show. Be tactical. Be smart about this. Make sure that I get your phone call. This guy writes, wide open. Ha, 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 ha. Brad is going to smoke the field. He might. But when I say it's wide open, what I mean is I could probably argue for six or seven or eight people that have a legitimate look at it. They could hit the board. Brad is the defending champ. Brad has won five times. Brad is still in his prime. Brad is the guy to beat. But I could argue for about five or six or seven others that at least would have a shot. You know, that horse. I wouldn't run that horse if I didn't think that horse could win the race. Caleb can win the race. Shawnee can win the race. Benny could win the race. Jeff and Richmond can win the race. Jeff and Southfield can win the race. Brad's the guy to beat, but there are plenty of others that could win. Mark in Boston could win the race. Dawson Knox is coming up at 40 past. Got more thoughts on UFC 251 and 52. But first, let's go to the phones. This guy also is in the field. Dan in Denver jumping back into the fray. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. I like the profile for Sean the Cablanasian. I noticed you left the name of his current show out, Payne and Pendergast. Shawnee, quick question. Is Payne your co-host or what your listeners feel? Jim, we got Shawnee, Jeff, and Caleb in the field. Are we hosting a smack-off or building an NFL O-line? Jim, Sean the Cablanasian is so fat, he set up a GoFundMe during the crisis just to support his eating habits. A lot thought it would be embarrassing for Sean to return to the jungle after all that crap he talked and eat crow, but I'm guessing he loved eating every morsel of it. And, Romy, I heard Jeff and Southfield take a run at me Friday. Hey, Jeff, it's supposed to be your name followed by your city, township, or area code in which you reside, not your name followed by your exact location. Jeff in a field south, although I guess that plays for Matt and Van, too. Jimmy, this guy's delivery is so slow, Amazon tried to refund its shipping. Jeff in Southfield is so dirty and poor, the only ring he could afford to give his wife was ringworm. But speaking of fields, Jimmy, Friday, June 19th, I'm going to make my bed in the smack-off field. And Jimmy, I'm a bedwetter.
Dan in Denver. Forget the name. He's in the field still. 1-800-636. 86.
Dan in Denver. Remember the name.
I did the Cablanasian player profile. Jeff in Southfield is already in the field. It's not too late. You're running out of time. It's almost too late, but it's not yet too late. Hit us up. I'm looking for your reaction to on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The smack off is a week from Friday. $5,000 to the winner. All right, so Dana White did not just announce the launch of Fight Island. Although Ariel kind of threw a wet blanket on that, didn't he? Ariel said, listen, I've been there. I've been to Yaz Island. There are no palm trees. There is no beach. There is no water. It's the desert. It's the sand. Yeah, okay. I've never been there. I've never even seen pictures. I'm just going to prefer to remember it the way I want to remember it. Beach, trees, sand, white sand, crystal clear water, an octagon on the beach. So Dana announced not only the launch, but also announced that UFC 252 is going to take place August 15th. We're not exactly sure where that might be, but that might be in Vegas. Maybe. And it's going to feature Stipe and Daniel Cormier, the third part of that trilogy. The third part of the trilogy is going to take place with Stipe's heavyweight belt on the line in what will most likely be Cormier's final fight, win or lose. As DC told Ariel, he is not fighting beyond this.
I would not be goaded into fighting again after this. I'm going to ride into the sunset. I'm going to ride my old buggy like the Beverly Hillbillies into the sunset, popping and just going crazy down the road. I'm going to be ready to go. I love it though. Man, I love the game, but I'm really loving the commentary. I'm really loving what life looks like after fighting, but I have unfinished business before I can do that.
So from that clip alone, you can tell that Cormier is looking forward to the fight, and he's looking forward to life after the fight. If you're looking for bitterness and anger, you better look someplace else. You're not going to get it from DC. DC is one of the best fighters ever, and probably the best human ever. If he's not the GOAT inside of the cage, he's definitely the GOAT outside of it. And if he beats Stipe, he's got a pretty good argument for being the best heavyweight ever. Now, that's not to say that this is a bitter-free zone, because it's not. Thankfully, if you want to see some bitterness or some outright hate, look no further than Usman Burns. Well, actually, do look a little further than that. Look further to the guy who's not in that fight. Nathan Diaz, the pride of Stockton. Nate Diaz took one look at the guys fighting for the welterweight belt, and he jumped right on Twitter. As a reminder, when Nate Diaz gets on Twitter, there is a good chance that greatness is about to take place. If you'll recall, back in October, after he failed a PED test, Nate posted, quote, "You're all on steroids, not me." And he was right, because he did not fail that test. And he was pissed about all that. That's the thing about my man Nate. He's almost always right. You have a problem with Nate, you've got a problem with yourself. You've got a problem with Nate. I can almost guarantee you're all on roids. Anyway, Nate reaches for his phone, and this time he posts a pic of Usman and Burns with the caption, quote, "This is what's wrong with people claiming they're fighters, settling for less because they know they're not worth bleep. You should have fought the next guy in line, not the guy who would take less because he's told to. That's why no one will remember you guys. This isn't a title fight," end quote. And then he chased that with, quote, "I get paid more than both of you together," end quote, with the smiling face, wearing sunglasses. And then on a new line, and in all caps for emphasis, "Bleep Reebok." My man, that's why there is one Nate Diaz. The one Nate Diaz, and one only. He's an original. There will never be another fighter like him. And as he has said in the past, quote, "If we were cavemen, I'd be the hardest caveman out there."
If we was cavemen, I'd be the hardest caveman out there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know what you're saying. That's the damn truth. But there was no way Usman and Burns were going to take that without responding. Usman went all analytical with it. I'm going to quote his response right now. This is what Usman said in response. Quote, "Let's state some facts here. You're bum ass. L's in your last 5 of 9 in 8-year span. 12 L's total. 1-1 in last 4 years. Refused to fight Woodley when offered title shot." End of quote. Hey, listen, referring to a fighter as "your bum ass" will never not be funny. That's always hilarious. And I bet that Nate's not too bothered by that. Then Usman broke down Jorge Masvidal, who beat Diaz in Nate's last fight. Quote, "Said guy, 13 L's total, L to Damian Maya, who was KO'd by Burns in round 1, embarrassed your bum ass." End of quote. And yet Usman still wasn't done. He came with another tweet. Quote, Burns, 6-fight win streak in less than 2-year span. KO over Maya, who defeated said guy. 50-44 domination over number one, WW Woodley, who you turned down for a title fight. Burns is a true martial artist and not all talk. And then one more to complete the trilogy. Quote, bottom line, if you got double-digit L's, shut TF up and sit your bum-ass TF down. Oh, and once again, don't forget to buy the PPV. End quote. There is nothing better than UFC Twitter. Nothing better than UFC Twitter. That was a strong flurry of tweets from Usman. But then again, that's not going to shake Nate. That won't shake Nate. You got to come with something a lot stronger than a few carefully crafted tweets in order to get to my man Nate. You think Nate Diaz is going to back down from that? This is the same Nate Diaz who tweeted the following about Conor McGregor a few weeks back. Quote, smoked the number one P4P and double champ. Know the real GOAT when you see him. And don't forget, I did it better and quicker than anyone else on the ground and sent him down with punches quicker than Mayweather did. So bleep all y'all rankings, and you know a real GOAT when you see me. And then, when John Jones tried to weigh in, Diaz shut him down with a simple quote, no one's going to remember your fights, with a bloody syringe emoji. So there's no way in hell Nate sees Usman going all Bill James stats guy in breaking down the records of Diaz, Masvidal, and Burns and says, yeah, yeah, you know what? Good point. Touché, you got me there. Hell, this is a guy who knows there's a belt on the line, and he's still saying that it's not a title fight. He's not backing down. You can throw all the numbers and all the logic at Nate that you want, and he won't quit. Ever. He won't blink. No chance. Not at all. You can run whatever you want at Nate Diaz. He's never going to back up. It takes a completely different breed to step into the octagon in the first place. And in a sport, in an occupation where you literally risk your life every time you punch the clock, my man Nate is still a breed apart. No one like Nate. And if he doesn't respond to Usman's tweets, it doesn't mean he got roasted. It doesn't mean he got shut down. It just means he's moved on to something else. Oh, and he'll be back. He'll be back shortly to remind everybody, as he did last month, that he's, quote, pound for pound, the baddest mother bleeper here. Bleep all you all. Followed by a fist emoji, the middle finger emoji, and a fist emoji. Oh, and he still makes more money than you. All of you put together. Never forget this. We need Nate more than Nate needs us. And he knows it. And now you do too. Nathan Diaz, if you need him. I do. I love Nate. Nate's never been on this program. I'm not even sure we've ever asked. It's almost like I have such high regard for Nate. I don't know that I can bring myself to ask him to be on my show. I don't think I've ever said that about anybody before. That's how highly I regard Nate. But this is also an enormous Jorge Masvidal house. Man, UFC if you need it. And never more so than right now. Let's see. At Mongo in the 508 tweets. Please, please, please reset the call. We're Orin in Denver dropped a nuke on Jethro in Richmond for the newer clones to take note of. Hold up for a minute, Albie. This is so great. It's one of my favorite things. Like, you want to look ahead and you don't want to look back, but there's so much unbelievable history to this program. There was Orin in Denver back in the day, and he was coming hard for Jeff. Jethro in Richmond. This is what this guy's talking about.
I had a couple people talking to me, and discretion is supposedly the better part of valor, but this isn't one of those times. Jethro in Richmond. I get to focus my attention on you, bruh. I don't know what mixture of hay and raccoon droppings you've been toking on in that corncob pipe of yours, but it must be the chronic because you plumb flipped your lid, homie. You mean to tell me you hopped in that horse and buggy you call a sled, took 3 days' rations, and motored all the way into town from that shanty you call a crib in the middle of that swamp you call a suburb to get your jungle life crushed? Listen closely, Huck Finn. I might have got myself run before I got a chance to finish, but you will not be so lucky there, Forrest, because I'm going to make sure I get through this call. Similar to the way your lady, your second cousin, isn't leaving the local juke joint until the last swig of moonshine is gone out of that triple X mug she calls a shot glass. I promise you, Jebediah, by the time I'm done with you, you're going to wish you stayed on the porch, sipping mint juleps, strumming and a picking on that comb, outfitted with rubber bands that you call a banjo, trying to listen to Romy over the sound of all 18 of your youngins fighting over who Pappy's going to whittle a pair of shoes for next. I hope that you and your wife Clementine enjoyed that five-course smorgasbord of roadkill possum with all the fixings under that kerosene lantern hanging from the ceiling by that wire hanger you call a chandelier last night, because right now you are getting your manhood took. Old Clem might not be able to look at you the same way after this. And we all know what that means for you, Jeff. It's back to sleeping in the chicken coop, listening to the Soggy Bottom Boys on that phonograph and playing Spin the Bottle with the Sheep. Stay in your lane, you hillbilly. You might be the king of the trailer park in the town of Deliverance, but to me, you're just a hick hopped up on cheap meth and corn pone who made the tragic mistake of bringing a raccoon club to a gunfight. Trust me, Cornwallis, look elsewhere to regain those stripes that Kerwin snatched off that genuine Army-issued jacket that you so promptly cut the sleeves off of 5 minutes after purchasing it for 2 bits from the local pick and save. Ain't nothing for you this side of the Mason-Dixon line except hard times, hurt feelings, and a dose of smack that'll make you wish that Ma didn't choose her brother to be the patter D familiar. You holler back, hillbilly, because I need the reps for the smack off. Just make sure that you turn the crank enough times on that there telephone of yarn, because the last call you made sound like it was breaking up a bit. Somebody please call the jungle police. Tell them to bring white chalk and yellow tape, because I am verbally murdering this inbred. That's right, Jeff. Jeff, you're a hillbilly and an inbred, and I got nothing to hide, so come on over, officers. Yeah, come on over.
That's insane. That was not even a smack-off call. That was just an in-season call. He said it. I needed to get reps for the smack-off. What year do you think that call was made? I mean, those timeless calls, although there are some things in that call that were not cool at all. Aside from that, those timeless calls hold up. I mean, was that call made last week? Was that call made earlier today in response to Jeff? No, that call was made in 2006. 2006. That's how long Jeff in Richmond has been at this thing. That was a guy annihilating Jeff in Richmond in 06. Yet Jeff is still relevant enough that when he called today, he was still getting all sorts of hype for being the best ever or the worst ever. Who you got? I have no idea. I just know Brad's the one to beat. If Brad's even money, Shawnee might be 3-1. You could argue that Rick in Buffalo is 3-1. I don't make the odds. But I'm just saying, I could argue that 7 or 8 have got a legitimate look at this thing. Who you got? Leffen Laguna, by the way. He's got 2 of these things. He's got 2. Shawnee's got 5. The BIC's got 5. Silk's got 1. Vic's got 1. Jeff and Richmond's got 1. Then you've got some other guys who have their straps that never ever call. The brothers Di Tola have straps, but they don't call. They're welcome to. JT the Brick's got 1, but he's got his own career. You never know who's going to call that day. All right, when we come back, we're banging telephone calls. Hey, listen, if you think you can be a part of this, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to shoot your shot, go right ahead. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Bills Mafia, Dawson Knox, tight end for the Bills, joins me at 40 past. It's a Wednesday, so that's a Jim Rome podcast day. Nate Boyer. Nate Boyer was the one who met with Colin Kaepernick and suggested to him, instead of sitting during the national anthem, why don't you take a knee instead? Nate Boyer, Green Beret. He is going to be my guest on Ep 133. Stay tuned. I've got an ATP coming up, too. I want to talk about Shakur Stevenson. I thought he looked awesome last night. All of that is still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Lefty, what's up, dog? Lefty and KC with the video on the bump back. This segment's brought to you by Grainger, for those who like to get it done. Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every single industry, plus 24/7 customer support and product specialists, always ready to answer your question. Call or visit Grainger.com. That's Grainger.com. Also, got a few moments, so let me knock out that ATP. I've got a guest coming up next segment. ATP is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jimmo's. Which member of the XR4TI has an office closest to yours? And whatever happened to the box of chaos? Not the radio bit, but the actual physical box that Hawk built. Brent in PC. Brent is trying to dislodge Bella B. He's been coming in. All right, Brent. Which member of the XR4TI has an office closest to yours? Let me run it down for you. All right, so we're self-contained, right? We have this one studio and this one office, and it's only us. We're not in another building that's corporate. We're not in a building with several radio stations. It's us. I can lay it out for you. From my left to my right, the so-called green room, which is really a brown room. This is where the guests stay when we used to have guests back in the day prior to the pandemic. The brown room, there's me, there's the makeup room, which is non-existent now because, as you know, I no longer get face cake. We're in the midst of a global pandemic. Then there's Hawk. So, logistically, Adam Hawk has the closest office to my office. Then next to Hawk is a closet. Then there's old man Ritt. Then there's an empty office, which used to belong to Chael. The empty office is now where chairs go to die. Coincidentally, chairs that Chael used to put together. He had this great Midwestern sensibility to him. He was handy. So an office is now a closet, a chair closet. And then there's a big equipment rack. And then Alvin's office in the morning is the other side of the glass. So if you close your eyes, that's how that sets up. Not to floss on anybody, but Hawk and I are the only ones with windows. I mean, you've got Ike saying, "Hey, what's the weather like?" Like, he's 5 feet from Hawk, and he has no idea what the weather is like. And I got to admit, I keep my blinds closed because there's a bunch of guys that stand outside my window and just want to look in and burn heaters all day long and talk junk.
Burning.
So even I don't know what it looks like outside. All right, back to the other question quickly. Whatever happened to the box of chaos? Not the radio bit, but the actual physical box that Hawk built. I don't know, since Hawk physically built the box, I think I'll ask him. I'm talking to you, Adam Hawk. Whatever happened to the box of chaos?
It's still in my office. I love that thing. I spent a lot of time on it. You'll remember I went to Joann's Fabrics and I sourced all the materials there, including the box and the paint.
You sourced the materials?
Yes. Me and a nice elderly lady had a great talk about what kind of paint would go great on that box. She gave me what's called chalk paint. So it's paint that goes on just like a chalkboard. And then I was able to use some sidewalk chalk and write the words "box of chaos" on it.
Yeah, good for you. Congratulations. What happened to it though? What do you use it for now?
It's just
not how did you build it and where did you go? What happened to it?
It's a decoration piece in my office. I have my rat mask that I wore for Romageddon and the box of chaos right next to each other. The box of chaos, that was a good time. You'll remember that's when they made us stump for votes for the Hall of Fame.
Yes, a great time.
And we had some awesome things.
I felt strongly about that too. I felt good. I was happy to be in that position, pandering for votes.
After 30 years.
Vote me in.
Yeah. You'll remember in that box,
still got my ass kicked.
Yeah. There was something in there where if you had drawn it, Alvin would have had to have gotten a vasectomy. That was in the box. It was not drawn, unfortunately, and it would not have mattered ultimately because the vote did not go through. But it would have been great had that have been drawn.
How about that one time that I said that if Alvin named one of his many kids, and really, how big of an ask was it? Because he's got like 50 kids. If you name one of your kids Zorro, I will put that kid through college. And Alvin said no, and to this day he says, dude, that's still the biggest regret of my life. The kid's name would have been Zorro DeLauro. He would have had the best name ever and his college education paid for. And you said no? I mean, like a boss. What did you end up naming Zorro? Elijah, exactly. I guarantee it, when Elijah is old enough, he's going to ask you the question, Dad, why did you do that? When college tuition bumps up to about $1 million for 4 years, Dad, Mr. Rome would have paid for the whole thing. And I would have had a much cooler name than Elijah. What were you thinking? That's the thing, son. I wasn't.
No!
And your mother's never let me forget it either. Dear Jim, I love that Chael Jr. is remembered for his chair-making ability. That's cold, man. Who would send that in? Oh, it's James Kelly. Hey, Flight Deck, man. Stop texting me during the show, bro. And let me set the record straight for the last time, Flight Deck. Chael Jr. is not remembered for his chair-making ability on this show. He is remembered for striking out Joe Mauer 3 times in high school. That's what he's remembered for. He's remembered for Michael Jordan rolling up on him at a wedding to talk about his baseball career at Notre Dame.
Oh.
That's what Chael Jr. is known for. Put some respect on that, Flight Deck. And his pepperoni nips. Put some respect on that, Flight Deck. When we come back, Dawson Knox joins us. Another good day in the jungle. In fact, knowing you clones the way I know you clones, knowing the subject matter, I'm going to say this has been your best day in a while. Had a little fun, haven't you? You've had your fun, haven't you, clones? Bills Mafia, Dawson Knox, when we come back. I got a sports update for you. Here it is. Actually, you know who's got it? Rich Ackerman's got it. Last segment for you. But time for phone calls. We are efforting Dawson Knox. Efforting no more. All right. I may have time on the back end for a telephone call. 1-800-636-8686. In the meantime, we are joined right now by a tight end for the Buffalo Bills. Last season, he had 28 receptions, 388 yards, a couple of touchdowns. The first Bills tight end to have a rushing attempt in more than a decade. He was the 96th pick in last year's draft out of Ole Miss. We are joined now by Dawson Knox. Dawson, it's great to have you on. Let me first ask you, it's your first offseason as an NFL player. It's been an incredibly unusual offseason. So how are you and everybody around you doing right now?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a weird offseason. You know, thankfully I've still been able to see some teammates here and there. But, I mean, it's just all about finding a way to work out, to stay in shape, to be ready whenever we got to come back. So thankfully, like even through all this weird COVID stuff, I've still known, you know, a couple people that have gyms that have stayed open, because they're considered essential. So I've still been able to work out and have some good facilities and, been able to work out with a couple dudes that are also on different NFL teams that are around Nashville with me. So we've just been, you know, trying to find the best way to stay in shape.
Dawson Knox joining us. You jump right to my second point. I was going to say that I had Atlanta Falcons center Alex Mack on the show in the first hour, and we were talking about how he went out immediately as a vet, and he bought a bunch of weights. He made a serious home gym. You just mentioned that there's some guys around town and some gyms that stayed open for you. Are you getting any of this work done at home? Do you have a setup at home?
Yeah, so thankfully I have a little place downtown in Nashville. It's kind of in a big building, so the weight room has been open for the most part. There was about a month where it was closed, which was unfortunate, but It's really nice. It's back open now. It's nice just to have something right down the hall that I can use. And also my parents' house, they live about 20 minutes south. They have a pretty, you know, pretty decent home gym. So if I'm ever at home, you know, seeing them at all, I'll be able to get in some work. And they actually have a Peloton, too. I got it from my mom for Christmas. So I've been able to jump on that some, which has been nice.
It does. I've got one, too. And it's amazing to me how many athletes are using it. I got mine a couple of years back. I love it. And I used it anyway. But then when this whole thing came down and I couldn't get to the gym, I fell in love with it all over again. What are those rides like for you? Do you do 30 minutes, 45 minutes? How do you approach the Peloton?
Oh, yeah. That thing's incredible. I love it. It's so nice, too, because you're not really pounding on your joints as much as
right.
you would be if you were sprinting or doing a bunch of cutting and stuff. But typically I do the 30-minute high-intensity interval ones. You know, sometimes I'll do a 20-minute one if it's kind of a, you know, harder day in the weight room. But the longest I've done is 45. I like, you know, doing some of the country music rides. I kind of switch it up, and I'll do some hip-hop rides. But I kind of like just bouncing around and trying out different things. But I'd say it's probably the, you know, the hit ones that I go back to the most.
Yeah, I like the hit ride, too. That's tough. Dawson Knox is joining us. Now, it did not take you long last year to have an iconic moment. Fourth quarter, week three, game against Cincinnati. You're trailing 17-14. You catch a pass. You proceed to truck one defender after another. You turn that into a 49-yard gain. The crowd's going crazy. Your teammates are going crazy. When you think back on that play, what sticks out the most to you?
Yeah, so that was like, I think, the third or fourth play in that drive, and we were in the two-minute offense. So I was honestly kind of gassed already. And then after making that, you know, long run, I just remember getting up super pumped but also super winded trying to catch my breath. So dudes were, you know, jumping on me, celebrating, and I was trying to get mentally prepared for the next play. But it was fun just, you know, being able to make a play for the team coming down the stretch.
I know you're playing it down. It was savage. It was an amazing play. It was an amazing play. And, you know, when I see that play, and then if we go back even a little earlier, this is kind of interesting. You played your high school ball at Brentwood Academy in Tennessee. Your father told The Athletic that for a while you were, quote, just medium-sized, pudgy, a quick kid that was very determined, very aggressive, and did the right things. I don't know, man. Watching you play right now, it's hard to imagine that you were a medium-sized, pudgy kid. I mean, what were you like as an athlete growing up?
Yeah, so like my earliest years of playing football, I felt like I was able to, you know, stick out a little bit. I was pretty fast. I was actually playing running back when I first started in like fifth and sixth grade. Which was really fun, you know, just getting the ball every other play. Cause you know, at that age, they don't throw a whole lot, but, and then slowly everybody just started kind of outgrowing me, you know, hitting puberty. And I was real late. I was a late bloomer. I really didn't start hitting that growth spurt until junior year. Going into my junior season in high school, I think I still had the roster. I think I was listed at like 5'10", 168. I was playing backup quarterback, and I played a little bit of receiver. I was probably the fifth or sixth receiver to go in the game. So I had very, very limited film. And then finally going into my senior year, I had grown. I was about, you know, 6'3", 210, you know, really feeling good, really excited to finally get out there and compete because I felt like I was, you know, finally caught up growth-wise and even surpassing a lot of people. And then very first game my senior year, I dislocated my ankle, which set me out for the whole season. So I had, you know, like two quarters of film basically on my huddle or whatever, a couple scrimmage plays here and there, but didn't really have any scholarship offers and ended up walking on to Ole Miss.
We're talking to Dawson Knox. I mean, that's incredible the way you lay that out. You finally, I mean, you catch up, you get your opportunity, you're 6'3", you're 210. Things are about to get rolling, and then you suffer that injury. However, Hugh Freeze had seen you in that game. He told you he had a preferred walk-on spot for you at Ole Miss. What did that mean to you at that time, and what was your mindset then when you went to college?
Yeah, so I was very thankful to have a couple different preferred walk-on opportunities at a couple different SEC schools. And it actually turns out I was supposed to visit Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, the weekend that I ended up visiting Ole Miss because I think someone at Tennessee fell through and they had to reschedule. So I ended up visiting Ole Miss. I didn't know anything about Ole Miss. No family members ever went there. It's actually funny. I went there once my sophomore year with a friend who was a big Texas fan because Texas was playing at Ole Miss. And I was wearing Texas stuff for that game. But that was my first exposure to Ole Miss. But after I visited, I kind of just fell in love with the coaches and the facilities. The campus was beautiful, and it just felt like home for me. And I was very happy with my decision after I got there and started competing a little bit.
We're talking to Dawson Knox for a few more moments. You know, I asked this of every one of your teammates, but I've got to ask you too. Then, what was it like living and playing in Buffalo last season?
Oh, very, very different than everything I was used to. Obviously, I've grown up in the South, haven't lived anywhere else besides Nashville, lived at Ole Miss, you know, for 4 years, where the weather is super hot, you know, but going up to Buffalo, I actually love playing in the cold because, you know, I'm not cramping up at halftime, you're not sweating as much, like the fans are unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's unbelievable. It's so fun to play for. That's why I'm just praying that they allow fans in the stands this year. Because the type of energy that, you know, the mafia brings to games, it just makes it so fun to play for. But it was really fun. You know, I lived in Hamburg last season. I just moved downtown. And it's been really fun starting to, you know, kind of really get used to the culture up there. And like, I've had more wings in the last year than I've had in my entire life, and they've all been good. So I've really enjoyed it so far.
I love that town. Great town. Bills Mafia is amazing. So when you get a taste of the playoffs the way you did, how much does that motivate you to want to get back there and advance?
Oh, I think everybody was kind of left with a bitter taste in their mouth after that loss. But I think that's going to be the biggest motivating factor to get us back to where we want to be next year or this season coming up, because I don't think you can learn nearly as much from a win as you can from a loss. So I think that's kind of the behind the scenes factor that's going to really, you know, push guys harder this off season and kind of show, you know, the hard work will pay off. And then once we get there, we got to, you know, make the most of our opportunity.
Dawson, one quick thing. We mentioned family. As some people know, you've got four siblings, including two adopted younger brothers, Isaiah and Nate. What was life like growing up in your house, and how much do your siblings mean to you?
Yeah, so I've always been a huge family-oriented person. I love seeing my siblings every chance I get. I try to see them every day now that I'm, you know, here for a little bit longer. My parents are incredible. They've been together. They started dating when they were sophomores in high school and actually went to the same high school I did. And my two adopted little brothers, we adopted them about 8 years ago. So they've been such an incredible part of our family. I know for a fact I'm going to want to adopt one day. I just can't, you know, see what our family would be like without them. And they've been huge blessings for us as well. But yeah, it's so fun getting to go home playing Xbox with them. They're all about, you know, Minecraft right now and superhero movies and action figures and Star Wars all over the place. So it's kind of fun being able to kind of relive my childhood a little bit through them. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old son. I've got one of those at home, so I know exactly what you're talking about. He is a tight end for the Buffalo Bills, coming off a really good season, 28 receptions, 388 yards, the 96th pick in last year's draft. Dawson, I've been looking forward to having you on for quite some time, and it lived up to all the hype. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for doing that, and I appreciate you closing out the show for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That was fun. Good job. Really well done. Dawson Knox, that was one of my favorite plays of the entire year. Him cruising up the sideline, stiff-arming fools, driving them into the ground. It's funny. He said he was gassed. I mean, everybody was so hyped after that play. My thanks to Dawson Knox. And for all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus 24/7 customer support and product specialists always ready to answer any question. Call or visit Grainger.com. Just Wednesday, man, a big Wednesday on the program. We had him, we had Ariel Helwani, we had Alex Mack. Now I'm going to get up out of here so I can do episode 133 of the Jim Rohn podcast. Nate Boyer is my guest. I'm going to track that, push it out. My thanks to the XR4TI. Now we're midweek before the week of. One more smack-off player profile. There's no spoiler alert here. You know who it is. It's the BIC, the defending champ, the GOAT. He's got five. We do that, and then we start to look at some of the storylines. So make sure you're here for that tomorrow. Make sure you're here a little bit later on today. Nate Boyer, again, is going to be my guest in episode 133 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. See you next time. We're out.